My anaconda don't, but I do answer your questions about how Hollywood works. Welcome to another edition of the Fame Fatale podcast. I am your host, Leslie Gornstein. That almost worked.
It was great. I loved every second of it. Yeah, it was good.
Den-den-den-den-den-den-den with me. Back in the studio after a break that included an appearance at Burning Man and a quiet moment at the Burning Temple.
It was an astounding experience.
Baby Vegas is back.
Glad to be back.
He is back in the studio, and he's going to be helping me answer your questions. My whole purpose in life is to take your questions via email, via Twitter, via Facebook, via whatever, about what really goes on in Hollywood, minus the bullshit, get to going on what's behind the scenes, and give it to you every week when I can.
You are our Edward Snowden, blowing it open.
I am blowing it open, except there's one difference between me and Edward Snowden.
What's that?
No one knows who I am. And no one wants to arrest me me on the cover of Wired magazine. Yet.
Yet.
Now, during this podcast, we have a ton of information that I want to get to, so I want to get right to it. Why don't you go ahead and ask the first reader question?
All right, let's do it. Mark Z asks via Facebook.
What?
Just saw Matthew McConaughey doing a car commercial.
Yeah.
Is he short on money?
He's speaking of these Lincoln car commercials where Matthew McConaughey is just, he's just keep on driving and driving and driving. No, he doesn't say that. But
All right.
Make a right. He doesn't, it's not like that, but it's, you know, he's sort of waxing philosophical, kind of like he does, and he's in a Lincoln. Now, there are some couple things you need to recall here. About what's going on behind the scenes. The current Hollywood machine you need to know about, and McConaughey's taste in movies. Now, first of all, let's start taking a look at McConaughey's recent tastes in movies. Let's remember that right around 2008, he was in a little bit of a crisis. If you've read any of his profiles lately, he was doing all of the shirtless guy roles, right?
Oh, yeah.
And
Fool's Gold.
Doing things like, what was it, in the year 2000? Like, he was known for the guy, known as being the guy who got busted in Texas on his ranch, running around naked, smoking pot, playing the bongos.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. That was 2000?
I think it was maybe 2000.
Wow.
Somewhere around there. Yeah, I think it was. So he was the good time guy, and he didn't want to be the good time guy anymore. He didn't want to be Jennifer Lopez's boyfriend in
Wedding Planner.
He didn't want to be that guy anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So he started taking roles that paid relatively little to nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And he did a lot of them in a row, a lot of them. For example, and these are not in order. Let me actually go in order then. Bernie, 2011. The budget for that movie was $5 million. So you can imagine what he got paid.
Right.
The Lincoln Lawyer, which barely made its own money back, that was $40 million, but that's not a huge budget either.
Mm-hmm.
Killer Joe in 2011, that budget was $11 million. Paperboy in 2012, budget of $12 million. Then came Dallas Buyers Club. And to get an idea of how much you get paid for doing a $5 million movie, Dallas Buyers Club was a $5 million movie. He got a salary of under 200 grand.
Wow.
But he did get points on the back end. All right? Meanwhile, keep in mind,
pretty intense that he did everything that he did to prepare for that role, and he only got $200,000.
Well, there's a reason for that.
Mm-hmm.
I spoke with a Hollywood attorney, Tom Cruise's attorney. His name is Matt Galsor. Mm-hmm. And I was sort of asking him what's going on with Hollywood salaries these days. And he said, essentially, there are fewer movies being made by the studios.
Mm-hmm.
And those are all, they're all being concentrated. There are no mid-budget movies anymore or even tiny budget movies. They're all making giant tent poles or rom-coms or nothing. So if an actor like McConaughey wants to turn his career around and resell himself as something else, the big budget studios are not going to help him out. He's going to have to take independent roles that don't pay a lot. Mm-hmm. And that's why you're seeing a lot of actors cut their salaries or take almost nothing, take 30, 40 grand, say, like Jonah Hill did to do that Scorsese film, Wolf of Wall Street.
Oh, wow.
Because even though that was a bigger budget movie, it was the only way he could get into that movie.
Right.
So, smaller number of movies being made, most of those tent poles that don't offer the kind of work that an actor like McConaughey would want, what do you start doing? You start doing indies and taking whatever you can get. And that's the path he took. And he was very smart to do that. But in the meantime, let's remember, in November 2007, he bought a 4-bedroom, 3-bathroom home in Malibu for $10 million. He was just shopping for a home in the area and spotted it. And the property was not on the market. And he made an offer to the residents for the property and they accepted it. Can you imagine if he like just walked up to you, be like, all right, all right, all right.
All right. It's yours.
And he owns a 1,600 acre ranch in West Texas, which he purchased for $500,000. So he has property to upkeep. Oh. He's got an incredibly hot wife to upkeep. Mm-hmm. And he's got 3 kids. All right.
Yeah.
And you can't. No. Is he hurting for money? Of course not. Yeah. But he does have property and a woman and kids to maintain. And you can't do that on $200,000.
Right. Man's got
minus
expenses.
10% for the agent, 20% for the manager, 5% for the business manager, and taxes. And remember, not every actor knows how to maintain his money. I don't know if this is the case with McConaughey, but Nicolas Cage, remember, went through a lot of his money and ended up having to sell some of his properties. And that's why he's doing a lot of these movies now that aren't that terrific, because he's got to work.
Right. He's suffering the consequence.
Plus, one more thing. You should know that all the cool kids are doing car commercials. This is actually where A-listers are ending up. I don't know if you've seen that really sexy car commercial with the 3 British villains.
Oh,
Sir Ben
no.
Kingsley, Mark Strong, and Tom Hiddleston. And they're talking about how good to be bad it is. Jaguar. They're doing Jaguar. They do a Jaguar commercial.
I haven't seen it, but I heard that played like right around the time that one of the journalists that was recently beheaded.
And
there was a British voice over a tape online.
Yes.
Did you hear about that?
Yes.
And then they have these British villains saying like, it's good to be bad.
Uh-huh.
So Jaguar was like, oh my God.
Oh, so did they cut them? Because I've still seen them.
They pulled them for a couple days, but then they brought them back.
Okay.
Yeah.
But this is the other thing. Not only are they hiring these big time actors to do these car commercials. Like, remember they hired the Silver Fox from Mad Men to do Lincoln before they did Matthew McConaughey. It's like, it's considered to be a cool way to make money right now.
Yeah.
And this is a multi-year contract. You can bet that McConaughey is making several million. Why? Mm-hmm. So that if he wants to go back and do 10 indies in a row, he can. That's why. But I'm getting ahead of myself. There's one other reason why he might have done this commercial. This is interesting, and you may not have heard this anyplace else.
Mm-hmm.
The first of McConaughey's Lincoln advertisements was shot in and around his native Austin, which, of course, they made it easy for him, okay, by Danish director, and I'm going to totally butcher his name, Nicholas Vinding Refn. Now, he won the Best Director Award at the 2011 Cannes Film Festival for his art house flick Drive.
Oh, okay.
So, if you want to get to know another director that does art housey things, and you want to tell him what's up, nice way to get to know him.
Right.
Make a few million. And then the next time you need to make a movie about a guy dying of AIDS, you got the money.
Sounds like an excellent way to network.
So you don't have to be hurting for money, but if you've done 10 indies in a row. Now, of course, the next movie he's done is Interstellar, which is this giant, terrible looking Christopher Nolan movie where he probably did get in the millions.
Oh, yeah.
But that's relatively new.
Have we seen any trailers for that yet?
It's horrible.
Really?
It's all like, daddy's coming home. I will come home.
Oh, yeah.
But they're going to shoot me into space to save the planet, but I will come home to my daughter because,
once again.
It's horrible. But does that make any sense?
Yeah,
did anything I just
absolutely.
Say make any sense?
You know, we should thank him for shooting those car commercials so we can get things like True Detective and Dallas
yeah,
Buyers
and
Club
True Detective, I'm like, again, he's probably not hurting for money. True Detective, he probably made 6 figures an episode.
Wow.
So he's not hurting for money, but if you want some big old cash infusion to buy another property for Camilla to keep her in the bedroom where she belongs instead of like running off with her hotness to somebody else, maybe you do the Lincoln commercial. That's all I'm saying.
There you go. You got a drive to ride.
Oh my God, you said that. All right, next question.
All right, Tracy writes via the old inbox.
Oh yes, it is. That's right. Go ahead.
Tracy writes via the old inbox.
Yes.
I've read the rules for credentials at Cannes.
Yes.
It seems they're pretty strict about being associated with a film, press, or jury. Why do reality TV celebs like the Kardashians get to attend when none of them have ever been in a film?
Okay. If there's an echo in here, you're not mistaken. I did answer this question, I think, a few podcasts ago, but that's okay. Because maybe she's a new listener. If so, welcome!
Woo-hoo! Hey, Tracy!
Hello! The answer that I researched then, there's another group of people at Cannes that everybody forgets about. It's not the filmmakers. It's not the stars of the films, and it's not the juries. It's the money.
Oh.
It's the sponsors, the jewelry houses, the luxury jewelry houses, the luxury car companies who make sure the Cannes stays as a fancy red carpet event with the champagne a-flowing. You can't have Cannes without sponsors. And you can bet that the sponsors get to bring their friends too. They just never mention that. So that's another section of people who get to bring people they want.
Okay.
And Kendall Jenner got to go to the last Cannes because she was an ambassador for, was it Chopard? It was some luxury brand that hired her as their brand ambassador for this event. And they were, whoever this luxury company was, I don't know, I said it in my last podcast, look it up, had put a lot of money into Cannes, so they get to bring who they want. It's like going to the World Series or the Super Bowl. Who gets the seats? People who buy the tickets, season ticket holders get the seats, right? But who else gets blocks of seats? Sponsors. If you're Miller or whoever, and you're an official sponsor of the Super Bowl, you're getting your own box seats. You're getting blocks of seats at the yard line, whatever that yard line is, you know, the yard line. You're getting that stuff.
One of those.
You have no business being there technically. You're not a football wife. You're not playing. Right. You're not a coach. You didn't buy a ticket, but you can damn well bet that the NFL is going to give you seats for sponsoring the game.
So makes sense.
They can send whoever they want. They can send Lena Dunham down that red carpet if they wanted to. And they would worship her like one of God's own angels because the money wants her there.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. All right, how's that? That was good.
That was great.
All right, go ahead.
All right.
Next
Kyle
question.
R asked via Facebook.
What?
Mrs. Leslie.
What?
Could I get your insight on the incident involving the police and actress Danielle Watts? It seems so random to have happened.
All right. For those of you who are unaware.
Yeah, I am one.
There is an actress from Django Unchained. I believe she played Coco. Her name is Danielle Watts. She's an LA actress. And there are lots of confusing details at this hour. But essentially, I don't know if you heard about what happened. She was in Studio City the other day. She was with someone that she described as her boyfriend, but may also have been her husband, depending on who you ask. Etc. And also depending who you ask, on whom you ask, she was either having sex with her husband or boyfriend in a car, or she was just kissing him on the street. Again, depends on which story you read. Cops show up and ask them both for ID, saying, apparently there's a recording out there now, like a recording on a phone or something. They ask for her ID and his ID, saying, we heard that we got at least one 911 call saying that a couple was having sex in a car. Can I see some ID?
During the day.
He hands over his ID. She, with Ferguson fresh in everyone's mind, and she being black, maybe, you know, go figure, says essentially in so many words, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
And she got detained. And the question obviously becomes, how much of this was about the fact that she's black and he's white? Because apparently the suspicion was that she must have been a prostitute if he was white and they were out doing some whatnot during the day. An LAPD spokesman has told CNN that officers from its North Hollywood precinct were responding to a citizen complaint. There was an indication, open quote, that they were involved in a sexual act inside a Mercedes with the vehicle door open. But meanwhile, it's not totally clear what happened. She was never arrested. She kind of like dropped the I have a publicist card, which I would too if I was in her situation.
Yeah.
And she's like, essentially, in so many words, I have a publicist. I will blow this shit up. And they let her go. But you can see a whole transcript of what went down between the actress and the officer, and you can decide for yourself whether it was harassment or legitimate. There's a huge debate going on right now about that. If you go into Jezebel.com, they've got one of the big questions out there right now is, when is a police officer allowed to ask for ID and when are you obligated to give it?
Mm-hmm.
And there's also a lot of argument about that. It varies state by state. A lot of it has to do with probable cause. What is probable cause? Is a 911 call probable cause? Is it not? There's a difference between presenting your license and simply giving identifying information, such as a first and last name. Either way, it did not turn out well. It was not handled well by the police. That I can say for certain.
Right.
They look pretty bad. And now it's over. What happened.
What they need to be teaching in high school, everywhere, all over the country, is your rights when it comes to the police.
Agreed.
When all those questions that you ask, we should have the answers to that. Mm-hmm. And it should not be something that you have to do extracurricularly, Googling on your own.
Every teenager should know that.
Yeah, we should know
all this
stuff.
Every junior high school kid should know that.
And if that's the case, then the cops aren't even going to be abusing your rights, ultimately, if everybody learns
what your rights are. Oh, no, they'll abuse your rights anyway. They'll abuse the hell out of your rights. Well, but at least you know when they've been abused, you can mm-hmm. call them on it, and you can take steps to get relief.
Yeah.
You know, either in court or whatever, you know? So, they will trample all over your rights, whether you know what your rights are or not. Trust. Right. Trust. Because there was a lot of argument here that this cop didn't really have the right to demand her ID.
Yeah.
Because he was very insistent. She's like, I'm not giving you my ID. He's like, I will get your ID.
Were they not even engaged in any...
By the time the cop got there, whatever sexual sexy times were over.
Mm.
Which is the other aspect of this case, is like, now that there's no evidence of anything, right. like... It's not like there's a condom on the ground. I mean, right. there was nothing. Like, they had nothing to go with. They should have. Yeah.
Spend my tax dollars elsewhere, please. Sheesh.
Next question.
Okay. Alima asked via the inbox. Yes?
Yes.
Acknowledging that hacking into female celebrities' phones to steal their most intimate photos is an incredible violation.
Okay.
Why would any famous person in their right mind ever take these kinds of photos or allow them to exist in the first place? I mean, I'm not even famous or hot, and I'd never take the risk.
I kind of have a problem with the premise of this question. Well, let me start by talking about celebrity culture.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Most celebrities really don't. They're tech savvy, but they're not capital T, capital S tech savvy.
Right.
They don't understand how the cloud works.
Yeah.
They don't understand how encryption and security works. They don't understand those nuts and bolts. They understand that you take a selfie and then your social media team helps you put it on Instagram unless you know how to do it already. I mean, you and I both know that there are entire companies out there that do nothing but do social media for celebrities, write the tweets for them, mm-hmm. post the tweets for them. The whole deal. So it's not so hard to imagine that a celebrity who is surrounded by a ring of sycophants who protect them from everything would have no reason to believe that their cell phone would be hacked.
Yeah.
That's not unreasonable to think. Especially if you are like sort of a certain stratosphere of actor who has not made her living by posting sexy pictures of herself on Instagram.
Right.
Jennifer Lawrence is not Kim Kardashian.
Yeah.
She's not Instagram savvy. She's not Facebook savvy. She's not any of that savvy. She doesn't have that kind of brand.
Right.
So she probably just doesn't know how any of that stuff works.
Yeah.
So she took some hot pictures with, I'm assuming, Nicholas Holt.
Are they still together?
They weren't. They're not now, but they were.
Oh.
I mean, it could have been somebody else. Oh, maybe it was, maybe she took them for Chris Martin. I don't know. I don't know when these pictures were taken. But the point is, you take hot pictures for your boyfriend, you send them to your boyfriend, or your boyfriend takes them and keeps them on his phone. Shit, people have been doing that since World War II.
Exactly.
Haven't you guys ever seen a sentimental World War II movie where it's like, yeah, I got a picture of my girl, you know, in her bikini or whatever. It's like, oh, don't you know? And then like some other guy in the bunk grabs it. Ah, look at this girl in her underwear. Hey, give me my picture back of my girl. It's in every damn World War II movie.
Right.
It's been happening since before there was digital photography. So... Well, I can understand that. I mean, have I sent a cleavage shot to my husband? Yes, I have.
It's our inherent right. You shouldn't have to not be able to behave like that. And no one should have to not be able to behave like that because of fear of anyone seeing that. I think the other deeper thing here is, who cares? Don't violate people's privacy. Don't hack into their clouds. But why are we so ashamed as a society if somebody happens to see your sexy photo.
That's what I would have really liked Jennifer Lawrence to do.
Yeah.
I'm not saying, you know, sitting here as a Monday morning quarterback is kind of obnoxious, but wouldn't it have been great if she would have come out and said, yeah, those are my photos. Basically pull a Marilyn Monroe. Mm-hmm. When Marilyn Monroe's nude photos came out, what did she do? She did not act ashamed. She put out a statement saying that those are mine. All right. Those are authentic. I didn't have anything on but the radio. And, you know, if she had just said something like, yeah, those are my photos and those are my hot photos. And those were for my boyfriend. And I'm not ashamed that I took those photos from my boyfriend, but you should be ashamed for stealing them.
Yeah.
Full stop.
I'm really surprised that she didn't. That seems right up her alley.
There's a brand at stake. There's an A-list brand at stake. She's got a ton of endorsements. Mm-hmm. So she may not care. Her publicist may not care. But who's she with? Dior?
Mm.
She's with a couple, at least one very, very, very high-end luxury brand.
Mm.
And they may be uptight. So they probably had to do something,
right,
to appease not even the producers, not even the studios, but her endorsement partners.
Bummer.
Which is disappointing. You know, they're European. Who knows what they probably don't really care at one end, but maybe they're Christian or some crap like that. I don't know. Whatever. That's not to say that I fault Jennifer Lawrence for not doing that, but boy, would it have been a revolution if she did.
Yeah, right.
Now, the only other remark I have to say about this is, it's almost, that question is almost like saying, why on earth would you do Google Wallet or PayPal or have a credit card stored online if you just know it's going to get hacked?
Right.
Why would you have online banking? Why do you have a car if there's so many burglaries in your neighborhood?
Why do you have money, cash in your wallet?
I mean, literally, there is a burglary in my neighborhood every week, literally once a week.
Gosh.
Why do I have a house? Why do I have nice things in that house?
Right.
With the risk. Why do I do it? That's my question/answer to this person.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have time for burn after reading? I think we do.
All right.
I think we do. I think we have, yes, we do. We have a segment of my letters segment. Yes. And it's called Burn After Reading, in which I take your letters.
Fire sound effects. Scooby Sleuth writes via email, great comments on Joan Rivers. She opened doors for women, not just comedians, throughout her life. And as an only child myself, my heart just breaks for Melissa.
Go ahead and read the next paragraph is hers too, actually.
Okay. I met her once. I was a gate agent for an airline, and she was amazing. She was down to earth, kind, and when the flight was delayed for a few, she stood at the desk. She came over to the desk and kind of put the folks that were crowding me in check. Ooh, go Joan. She was great with everyone there.
Well, she's like a road dog. That doesn't surprise me at all. She was always on the road. So it doesn't surprise me that she knew how to handle these things and that she was a happy traveler.
Well, a friend of mine, he named Justin Root, he sees celebrities all over town. It's just like this special sense for them. And he was shooting a video on his phone for a friend's birthday, like wishing them a happy birthday. And Joan Rivers like came out somewhere in a back alley. And they were like, oh my God, Joan, would you wish our friend a happy birthday? And he has a video of her being like, happy birthday, Mark, blah, blah, blah. And she just was like, no breath, no hesitation whatsoever. Gave him the happy birthday. Went on her way.
She was so much more influential than people give her credit for. I started saying this last week, but there's another whole aspect of her that I forgot to mention.
Mm.
She taught me my letters.
Oh, really?
I am literally a woman of letters partly because of her. You don't remember.
Yeah, how do you mean?
Embryo. Electric Company.
Uh-huh.
It was a show on PBS. It came on right after Sesame Street. I can't describe it except that it was a musical variety show for kids with little cartoon interstitials.
Cool.
And, oh, God, Morgan Freeman got his start. Do you know about this?
No.
He was this young man in his 20s, and they all played different parts. It was a company. It was literally a company. It was the Electric Company. It was a play on the Electric Company, but also it was also a company of players.
Uh-huh.
All right? Rita Moreno was one of them, and she would shout, hey, you guys, and then the other players would come. But anyway, one of them was...
Is that what, hey, you guys, is that what that's from?
Yeah, hey, you guys. Rita Moreno. You know Rita Moreno?
Uh-huh.
Okay, yeah, you do know who she is?
Vaguely, yeah.
You're lying. So Morgan Freeman... Uh-huh. Was in that company, And one of the characters he played was Vincent the Vegetable Vampire. And you can go on YouTube to this day and see him singing a song about how he's a vampire who craves his vegetables. Well, guess who else was on there? As a voice was Joan Rivers. And she narrated a series called, I believe it was called The Adventures of Letterman. And it was a way, it was a superhero whose weaponry was letters. And he would save words that weren't working and add the letters that you needed to make the word. But she had this delivery of urgency. This was urgent. She would say, you know, so this is a case for Letterman. Oh, no, bring in Letterman. Bring in the A before it's too late. He produces the letter A and the ham is saved. You know, it's and she made words sound so important.
Mm-hmm.
And so interesting. And I thought, if this chick, and I was a little kid, whoever this lady is, who is so worked up, she's so worked up about letters, they must be important.
Right. Wow.
And it's okay to get worked up like that over words.
Amen.
Amen. And here I am sitting here today getting worked up with words.
That's beautiful.
I am my own letter woman now because of Joan Rivers and Letterman. As a matter of fact, in the next day or two, maybe I'll find a video if I can.
Yeah.
Of the adventures of, and that's the way she said it, Letterman. I think that's it. We've reached another end of our show.
Spectacular.
This was spectacular. This was a dazzling array of information.
I'm dazzled. I'm blown back.
There were a lot of freaking numbers.
There was a lot of numbers.
And if you guys have a question about how Hollywood really works behind the scenes, maybe something that celebrities don't want you to know, that's what I'm here for. JJ.
Yes.
Baby Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
How can they reach me?
They can
have
find
you forgotten
you on,
at Burning Man?
Let me give it a shot.
Okay.
They can find you on Facebook.
Uh-huh.
Femme Fatale.
Right.
They can find you on Twitter. Femme Fatale says. They can find you on the internet. Now you gotta pick
how
up.
Do you email me?
You're gonna have to drop
Leslie
that one
at thefamefatale.com, or you can always go to my website, which is www.thefamefatale.com. JJ is always up to something interesting, whether it be gay dodgeball or Burning Man. So if you want to reach him and ask him what's going on in his life, it is always interesting. You can find him on Twitter at
Baby Vegas with a Z,
because he's Baby Vegas.
That's
I gave
forever.
You that name.
You did.
Never.
I will
forget.
Never. You know, actually, really quick, speaking
what?
Of Burning Man, you have playa names, which mine is Glitter Punch, but every other time I'd give my playa name, I would say Baby Vegas. It just came out of me.
So,
that's me.
But that's not your playa name.
No, my playa name is Glitter Punch.
Why is Baby Vegas not good enough to be a playa name?
You can't give yourself your playa name. It was bestowed upon me on the first day last year.
So you have no agency in this matter.
No, you just have to take it.
I'm just going to have to accept that. Thank you so much for listening. We will see you next week.
The Adventures of Letterman.